The views and opinions expressed during this podcast are those of our guests. No one person speaks for AA as a whole.
Most of us come to AA looking for relief, connection, and a way to stay sober one day at a time. For over 90 years, Alcoholics Anonymous has provided these opportunities to anyone who comes to AA suffering from a drinking problem. But how is it organized? Who is making sure AA will be here for the next suffering alcoholic? In the first episode of last season, we explored AA's general service structure and the upside-down triangle that's represented by it. This episode, we're going to dig a bit deeper by hearing from GSO staff and trusted servants of AA to learn how the general service structure and the general service office fit together. Not as a hierarchy, but as a living example of our common welfare comes first. My name is Nathan and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to GSO. Let's start down at the bottom of the upside-down triangle. Once a year, Alcoholics Anonymous brings together members of the AA General Service Board, the General Service Office, and elected representatives from the 93 geographical areas of the U.S. and Canada for an intense week of discussion, deliberation, debate, and voting known as the General Service Conference. The work that is accomplished during that one busy week will help set the stage for Alcoholics Anonymous in the following year. To better understand how that process works, we sat down with Rainer L., a relatively new GSO staff member, but a longtime AA member, who has served at all levels of the AA service structure. Rainer, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Rainer, we want to learn more about the General Service Conference, what it is, how it functions, and you have a lot of experience you could share with us. You are currently the GSO staff coordinator for the conference, but prior to working at the General Service Office, you were delegate for Area 51, North Carolina, back in 2021, 2022. I was wondering if maybe in your own words, you could break down what the General Service Conference is, why it's important to Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole.
So there are two parts of it. There's an annual meeting of the General Service Conference, which is what is generally referred to as the conference. But I think that the General Service Conference is something that happens at a broader level. There's also a conference structure, which we have well represented within an upside-down triangle.
Yeah, we dug into the upside-down triangle of the AA service structure in episode one of last season.
The activities that take place outside of the conference week, like a home group's business meeting, a monthly district meeting, or the quarterly area assemblies, allow for a growing group conscience, which aggregates the collective voice that speaks for AA as a whole.
When did you start learning more about the AA service structure?
I fell in love with Alcoholics Anonymous because of the stories that I heard from other members. What I eventually realized is that Alcoholics Anonymous itself has a story. And so there is a chapter of that, AA Comes of Age. There is this transfer of responsibility that happens in 1951 with the implementation of the General Service Conference, which is the channel and the path by which AA can run its own affairs.
So in 1951, AA Comes of Age, and the General Service Conference is introduced. There's about 135 people in the room together from all over the U.S. and Canada, various perspectives. How do they come together and form this group conscience? That sounds like a hot mess.
Absolutely. There is a thorough, often a robust, and at times contentious discussion that happens at the conference. You know, these are prolonged and thorough discussions. But the recognition is that the service needs to serve Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. And there is a clear understanding that regardless of the disagreement that people may have in terms of the right and the wrong of an action, there is a tremendous underlying unity and singleness of purpose in wanting to offer the very best that each can to the future and the continuation of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Excellent. Now, to get more specific about the functions of the conference, can you tell us what a proposed agenda item is?
Proposed agenda items, we call them PAIs, proposals that are important to the future of Alcoholics Anonymous in matters of policy decision and the revision of our conference-approved literature.
So like I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and in my home group, I say, you know, I think that AA would benefit if we had XYZ pamphlet. I now express this to my home group. What happens next that allows that concept, that idea, turn into a proposed agenda item and make it all the way to conference?
So there are a couple of different avenues. Alcoholics Anonymous offers its membership a tremendous freedom. And this is expressed as well within that right of participation. If you felt so inclined, you could forget your group altogether and simply submit that item.
Directly to the General Service Conference.
Directly to the conference. You may be well served to bringing that to a group conscience for a wider decision, approaching the district, forwarding to the area, which would then have a different refinement and expressed support in proposing that agenda item to the conference. A proposed agenda item can come from anyone, an individual, a group, a district, an area. I, as a GSO staff member, could theoretically, and haven't, submit a proposed agenda item. One of the things that we hope to see are matters of overall policy. It's within a primary purpose to carry an effective message to the alcoholic who still suffers, to speak broadly to a need within Alcoholics Anonymous. And so the involvement of a group conscience at a group, a district, an area, these different levels within the service structure, gathers and expresses that support so that the proposed agenda item process doesn't simply turn into a complaint box. So we want the items that are coming forward, ideally, to be those broad expressions, while at the same time balancing the right and the warm welcome, the invitation that AA gives to all of its members for their full and growing participation.
As a delegate, you're representing your area at the General Service Conference. You're bringing the collective conscience of your area to the conference. And then the actions that take place there, you then report back to your area. Could you speak more to that process?
What I felt as an area delegate is that I had a responsibility to deliver the area's voice. The voice that I contributed, it was not my own. These were not my thoughts. They were the expressions of the members in my area. In Alcoholics Anonymous, we also have a right of decision. And so while the voice that I had to contribute to the General Service Conference was not my own, my vote was well informed by the thoughts of the membership in North Carolina. So my responsibility was to vote on behalf of Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. And one of the cases that this came up, I believe it was at the 72nd conference in 2022, there was a proposed agenda item to revise the pamphlet AA for the Native North American. And as I engaged with the fellowship in Area 51 about their feelings, their thoughts and perspectives and concerns on the conference agenda, there was not a lot of appetite for this revision.
Okay.
There was not a clear objection. There was just not really an appetite to engage with one more thing. When I went to the conference, I was exposed to a very different set of perspectives. I started to hear from delegates in Thunder Bay and the Yukon Territory in New Mexico and places that had a larger indigenous population.
Yeah.
And I became convinced that there was a need for this revision based on the information that was presented. And ultimately, that was an advisory action. Over the course of 2 years and the involvement of members from indigenous communities, the establishment of a working group of trustees literature, an amazing pamphlet was created, revised, retitled as Indigenous People in AA. And at the conference in 2025, at the 75th General Service Conference, that draft pamphlet was presented, reviewed, and approved, and is now in publication in print and on AA.org.
Wow, what an experience. Now, when that advisory action took place and you came back to Area 51 to report that, how was that received?
My experience is that AAs will receive things well if they're given the opportunity to. And so as I offered a clear explanation, it was well received.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I think that right of decision is a very interesting concept where it allows for the delegate to be swayed or change their mind and to make decisions at the conference that are best for AA as a whole with the new information that you obtained at the conference. I think there's probably a lot of people listening that would think that things could turn into chaos if anyone could change their mind at any certain time. But it doesn't turn into chaos. Our structure does maintain.
So I would say that we're guided in principle, and so it's not simply a whim. Then we have open-mindedness as one of our indispensable elements. We have an understanding that the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. One of the things that happens when we come to some of these rights that we have in Alcoholics Anonymous, the right of decision, is that I believe there's a corresponding responsibility. If I have a right of decision, I also have a responsibility to report on that decision. If I'm given a seat at the table, I have a sense of commitment to show up for that obligation, to tend to it with a seriousness and a recognition that my decision is bigger than my preference or my whim.
There's been a lot of proposed agenda items that have turned into advisory actions over the years, some things that a lot of people familiar with Alcoholics Anonymous would be aware of, but might not know that they started as PAIs. Can you think of some other ones that are pretty well known that you could share with us?
One of the things that we are working on right now, the development of a fifth edition of the Big Book.
Yeah. Plain language Big Book would be another PAI that turned to advisory action. Is that true?
Yes.
How about the podcast we're listening to right now? Do you have any memories of that being brought to the floor?
I remember well an experience. We had a pre-conference structure in Area 51 where the delegate held events. And there was a lady in Charlotte who was an alternate DCM at the time. And she was just on fire with this podcast idea. I had never heard a podcast. I didn't know what it was. You know, I was living in an age of radio. And so the podcast, the opportunity to speak with members and to share those voices. It's part of the reason why Alcoholics Anonymous has found such a timeless value, because it's an opportunity to present in real time the voices and the experience of AA's current membership.
Yeah. I think you've done a great job painting a picture for us of what the conference is, how it works, and a lot of the actions that come out of this really amazing spiritual experience of these representatives coming together. You obviously have a passion for service.
When I look at my personal journey in Alcoholics Anonymous, what I fundamentally find is that I have fallen in love with indebtedness, with a sense of obligation and commitment to make sure that this thing is here for the member in the future who needs us. I am in debt to Alcoholics Anonymous for my life, and I have an obligation to carry that on. The way that I can exercise that is by my involvement within our service structure. Because Alcoholics Anonymous isn't just going to be here because people need it. People have to show up for it. They have to offer to it. You know, the work and self-sacrifice that is the growth and maintenance of a spiritual condition. And as much as our literature is a point of inheritance that we've received from the members who preceded us, this structure is an inheritance too, because it allows AA to self-govern, to respond to the needs and the wants of the whole.
Thank you, Rainer.
Thanks so much.
For more information about AA, please visit our website at aa.org.
In our explorations today of the AA General Service structure, we want to make sure and cover the entire upside-down triangle. We've spent some time with Rainer down near the bottom of the triangle with the General Service Conference and how it connects with the area assemblies, which is the next layer up. So, we're going to continue up the triangle by taking you to an area assembly.
Is everybody ready?
This is where the GSRs, General Service Representatives, and the DCMs, District Committee Members, communicate to the area the collected group conscience of the top layer of the upside-down triangle and AA's ultimate authority, the AA groups.
Okay, let's do the voting on this motion, please.
This is also where the area communicates to the groups any information and updates from the General Service Conference and General Service Office. Often, area assemblies will take advantage of these gatherings to familiarize new GSRs with the functionalities and responsibilities of their roles.
Okay, awesome.
This is unofficially known as GSR school.
Is this anybody's first assembly as GSR?
GSO staff member Misha Q was in West Virginia for the Area 73 Fall Assembly.
So, hey, thanks for being here. We're at Area 73's Fall Assembly, and I'm just here talking to a few people. Can you tell me your name and a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Erica. My home group is the KISS group of Alcoholics Anonymous in Morgantown, West Virginia. And my service position right now is I am the group general service representative.
So you're a GSR?
I'm a GSR.
Awesome.
So I really didn't know what I was getting into, but what I really love about general service is I love to know how things work. My dad's an engineer, and so I'm always interested in, you know, how does this work? Even when I started getting involved in service at my home group, I just felt like I was seeing behind the curtain. And then when you see behind the curtain, you realize there's really nobody there except for all the members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's just so fun here in Area 73. The people are great. I'm not a native West Virginian, and I've just been so welcomed into
my name's community. Jaina. Communication is key, I think, with GSR, really with any position. I think it's great to be a voice for a group of people that you share your life with.
Hi, yeah, my name is Sean, and I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Steps to Freedom down here in District 3, Beckley, West Virginia. I'm currently serving as the GSR for that whole group.
What's it like being a GSR?
You know, it's an absolute pleasure. Sometimes it's like herding cats a little bit, but I enjoy getting into the nitty-gritty of all the things that come up at the home group meetings, everything from what books are we going to buy to now recently looking at acoustic paneling for the room, you know, everything in between. It's been such a blessing.
My name is Dana, and my home group is the Design for Living group that meets on Tuesday mornings in Martinsburg, West Virginia.
Excellent. And what's your current service position?
I am the DCM for District 11 and Area 73.
What does a DCM do?
Well, let's see. We hold monthly meetings for all the GSRs to attend. So I'm the liaison between what's going on at the area and the GSO level. And I spread that information to the GSRs so that they can share it with their groups.
Patrice E., Women on a Journey, online meeting, Sundays, 2:00. Come join us.
So you're a new GSR?
Yes.
And you came this weekend and they had GSR training. What was that like?
Absolutely invaluable. You know, I thought, man, I got to start giving back. So I was offered the position at my home group and I took it, and it's been amazing. It's so different now than when I was brand new way back when. The training, I wish I had had it then. It would have made more sense. But this time, it made me appreciate AA at a whole different level.
It's great to be a part of something. There's just something different about it. I don't know, the energy and the love that people have for Alcoholics Anonymous, even when we disagree, is really, really exciting to be a part of.
What do you think being involved in service did for your sobriety?
Wow, I really couldn't overstate it, you know. I got into service work very early on. I had no idea what I was getting into, but as soon as I sat down into that big meeting and just started listening and soaking it all in, I absolutely fell in love. You know, being able to be of service is, to me, providing the opportunity for people to carry this wonderful message. Anything that I can do to put somebody else in that position to be able to carry this message, to me, that's twofold, right? Because not only do they get to stay sober, but we also plant the seed and hopefully someone else gets to stay sober as well.
How long have you been involved in general service or involved in doing service work in AA?
Well, I just celebrated 28 years of continuous sobriety on September 5th. And I think I was about 3 months sober when MJ said, Dana, you want to go to a meeting? And I said, yeah, I'll go to a meeting. And she took me to the first district meeting. And I've been in service work ever since.
It's kept me sober, bar none. It's kept me sober. I probably wouldn't be here today. I might be back out there or dead or who knows, but yeah, it's a lifesaver.
Wow, thank you so much, Tina.
You're welcome, Nisha. Oh, can I have you?
Thank you for your service. Find
a meeting near you or a meeting online, download the Meeting Guide app on your mobile device.
When Paul M. visited GSO and shared about his experience in AA service throughout the Upside Down Triangle, the opportunities it provided him, and the lessons he learned, we knew we had to share his story with you.
My name's Paul. I'm an alcoholic. It's because of people like you in rooms like this. I'm sober today, and for that, I'm truly grateful. And I walked through these rooms April the 12th of 1992. I spent years in and out of AA, and I couldn't stay sober. And this last time, my sponsor put me to work doing stuff at the group level. He said, you need to make commitments. You need to get to be of service to the group. And I didn't understand what that had to do with staying sober. I'd come in and I'd make coffee, and you wouldn't pat me on the back and tell me how great it was. I would clean up the bathrooms, wash the ashtrays. Thank God the ashtrays are gone today, but we had to clean all those things, and I didn't understand what that sacrifice had to do with staying sober. And many years later, I came to learn that this was me to practice humility and to do things for others expecting nothing in return, just for the act of love of giving and caring for Alcoholics Anonymous. That carried on through my life. I mean, my sponsor had me make commitments to lead meetings, to let me be the group treasurer. Even though I was a hot check writer, they trusted me with their $1.58 that I guarded underneath my pillow. I remember that. I was going to not lose a penny of that money. But what that did for me, being a service like that, I started to build self-esteem. I started feeling better about myself, that people would trust me. And that helps the recovery process for myself. I believe that practicing all three legacy of Alcoholics Anonymous, our legacy of recovery, our legacy of unity, and our legacy of service have helped me round out my program. I have, you know, I've learned to give and travel and be part of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah, sounds like you started off with a lot of service at the group level. When did you start working your way down the triangle?
As my service history continued, I was asked to serve the group as a general service rep. And I think that was my introduction to really the legacy of service and structure of the General Service Conference. And I became a GSR. I moved on to become a correctional chair for my area and worked in treatment. These were all things that the opportunities that AA gave me to do to be of service to them and the people about me. And I, you know, as I did these things, I started meeting more and more people. My circle in AA grew bigger and bigger. Pretty soon I was involved with people in the region, our Southwest region. And then in 2003, I was elected delegate for my area and got to serve the General Service Conference for 2 years. And the second year, I became the cooperation with the professional community chairperson and was really introduced to CPC work. And I was sharing earlier on today about what that's done for me to go out and speak to the professionals about what AA is, what it's not. And I've been doing that for years now, to speaking to professional groups and being involved also in public information, talking to young kids about what Alcoholics Anonymous is, what it's not.
It sounds like you've learned a lot of skill sets to be of service in AA.
But it's done more than that. I learned how to be of service to my family. Hmm. I know when I got married, and I learned how to be of service to my wife and family members, and to look at that as a gift, to be able to give back. I learned to be of service in my community. And service has given me that opportunity to interact with people, sometimes with people I don't agree with, sometimes people that I might not like, but I've had to learn through our legacy of the traditions, thinking about the common welfare. What can I do to help this relationship? Whether I like this person or not, or agree with them, what can I do to be loving and kind? And I think the services opportunities gives me that chance to practice this. And it continues to be that way for me today.
Have you ever had an opportunity to experience any other service structures? I mean, like outside the U.S. and Canada?
Well, in fact, several years ago, I was in the U.K., had a chance to go to the General Service Office in the U.K. in York, England, and to meet some delegates there as I was traveling. You know, had the opportunity to go around. I was in a meeting in Austria, Vienna, Austria, and I talked to the service rep in that group about the seventh tradition, and he looked at me and says, well, they're still trying to put €1 in the basket. I said, well, over here in the U.S., sometimes they're still trying to put a buck in the basket. Sometimes we have the same challenges, whether it's here or around the other side of the world.
As delegate of Area 67, Southeast Texas, you participated in two General Service Conferences. Any memories that really stand out to you that you could share with us?
Oh yeah. I was elected delegate in 2003 and attended my first General Service Conference. And I remember standing out front of that at Times Square. I think it was the Crown Plaza in Times Square. I in a three-piece suit, looking around, I could not believe that a Skid Row drunk, on parole from Texas Department of Corrections, was standing there representing AA in the United States and Canada. And the kind of overwhelming feeling I got there, of being that joy and responsibility to be able to do that. And I remember the conference, and the conference was great, but I ended up chairing the early morning meeting. They have an early morning meeting at the conference. And it was open meeting, and somebody came in from the streets to attend that meeting who was trying to sober up. And it really connected with me the importance of what was going on at the conference, what was going on at GSO with that man who walked in that meeting that morning before the conference started. And I always encourage all the delegates, go to that early morning meeting. I know it's difficult with all the things going on, but you need to know why we're here, why we have business to take care of Alcoholics Anonymous, because the real business is carrying that message to the alcoholic who still suffers.
Wow. Paul, that's great. Really grateful you came in today.
Yeah, grateful for the stuff you do, the work you do. You're right. Appreciate it.
There's no short supply of resources to learn more about the general service structure of AA. There's the pamphlets, the AA group, where it all begins, Circles of Love and Service, and the 12 Concepts Illustrated, along with the animated 12 Concepts video. For the spiritual foundation of service, there are the tradition essays in the book 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, and for the historical story of the General Service Conference, check out AA Comes of Age. Don't forget about the General Service Manual, 12 Concepts of World Service, along with GSO's free newsletter, Box 459. And of course, a great way to keep learning about Alcoholics Anonymous is by listening to this podcast, Our Primary Purpose. So if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe so you can keep coming back.
Thank you for listening to Our Primary Purpose, a podcast produced by the General Service Office on behalf of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous in the U.S. and Canada.